we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hi there. My name is Bob Arthurs. I'm Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and it's my privilege to be the host of the Refresh Radio broadcast coming to you from WMIE 91.5 FM. And so after today's broadcast, this is our week of freedom that we've been celebrating, and you will have 2 days where you are free from this radio program, but we look forward to being back with you again on Monday morning. If you are suffering withdrawals, we'd love to have you come and join us Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school. Our worship service is at 10:30, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that tomorrow night or Sunday night. I'll get the right day in there. Sunday night, we are going to have Dan and Delia Hale with us. They're missionaries. They travel the globe preaching the gospel in some of the most challenging places on the planet, and they always have some very exciting and encouraging stories of what God is doing around the globe. So if you would like to come and be a part of that, that will be Sunday night at 6:30. So that is what we have to look forward to. We are talking about our freedom this week, and as I've mentioned, most days this week, not every day, but if you are a military or person, or if your family has got a military person in it, or if you know someone that has a military person in it that could benefit of a study Bible written by military personnel for military personnel, please contact us at the information at the end of the broadcast. And we would be happy to get one of those to you. If we get more than three requests, it will take us a little bit longer to get those in. We'll have to order them, but it shouldn't take all that long. But it would be our privilege to bless those who've served our great country with a study Bible in the language they can understand. So we're going to move over today to Romans chapter 7. We're going to conclude this week, Romans chapter 7. I'm going to try and get both of these things, both of these passages in today. If not, then I will finish it up on Monday. So verse number 21 of Romans chapter 7 says this: I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So a lot to get into. So today my target are those who are believers, who are practicing their faith, but they are struggling. And if that is you, I want you to know that Paul could identify with that personally. He writes about it here in Romans chapter 7. He says, I find then a law that evil is present with me. Okay, that's Paul writing about himself. The one who wills to do good. He had it in his heart. It was his desire to do the good things that God wanted him to do. And he goes on and he describes, he said, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. So his spirit was delighting in the will of God. I tell you, I pray that when people come to our churches, that they are at more peace than they've ever been. That there's more joy than they've ever experienced. I pray that there is a benefit that penetrates all the way to the core of their very being. For I delight in the law of God. I delight in God directing me and ordering my steps. I delight in what his word tells me to do. Now, we live in a society where people don't like anybody telling them what to do. They don't want God telling them what to do. But you know what? One day their body is going to tell them, you don't get to live any longer. Their body will expire. And as painful as that is to realize, the truth of the matter is none of us are without people dictating to us or telling us what to do. I want somebody who has my best interest at heart telling me what to do. I don't want somebody who has my demise at the core of their existence. I don't want them dictating the terms of my life. So Paul says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members. In other words, there was this civil war that was going on inside of Paul's life. He says, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity into to the law of sin, which is in my members. And he said, there's this civil war that's going on where I've got my spirit that is delighting in the law of God, and I've got my mind that is making war against that, and the war is manifesting itself in the members of my body, in the parts of my body. It's affecting what I do. Now remember, he's writing this to the church, and he's telling them there's this struggle that is going on. It is a violent conflict that is taking place. It involves his spirit, and it involves his body, and it involves his mind. And, you know, Joyce Meyer has a tremendous book. It's called The Battlefield of the Mind. And there's a lot that takes place. The truth of the matter is this. Unless God changes the way that we think, our actions will continue to be what they've always been. You see, when we come and we pray a sinner's prayer, there's a spiritual transaction that takes place. Discipleship is the manifestation of that spirit that changes the way that we think. Be ye not conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you are still thinking like a sinner, you are still going to act like a sinner. And God doesn't want that. He wants exactly the opposite. He wants you acting like a redeemed, born again child of God. And he literally he describes this as a war. It is something that is going on. And I will tell you this, the devil does not make war with civil rules. He's not interested in civility. He's not interested in playing fair. It is war. In all of its ugliness and all of its casualties, and he doesn't care who he hurts as long as he gets to win. The reality is, though, that he's going to lose. We want to make sure that he loses frequently. We want to make sure that he loses in us. So it's warring against the law in my members, against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And so the devil will have these war games going on in your head because he wants your physical body in captivity to something or to someone. to something, to someone, to some habit. He wants you captive. Aren't you thankful that Jesus came to set the captives free? We'll talk about that more. Paul describes this, and maybe this will bring some comfort to you for those of you who struggle with addictions or strongholds in your life. And Paul goes on and he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Okay. Please don't make excuses for yourself. Please don't patty cake yourself or pad your resume. You need to come to grips with the reality that is at hand. You don't just want Jesus being in charge of your spirit, because then you end up with this condition. And Paul says, "I am a wretched man." That word means miserable. It means as one who is constantly going through the trials of affliction. You don't want to be miserable. God doesn't want you miserable. As long as there is this tension and discord and war that is going on, where our spirit is pulling us one direction and our flesh is pulling us another direction, that's war. That's pain. That's misery. And Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" What he was recognizing is that he couldn't do it alone. And if you're listening to this broadcast today, I want you to know you can't deliver yourself, but God can. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Paul realized that struggle, it was killing him. It was making him miserable. It was making him not a person that you'd want to be around. He realized that death was what was awaiting for him. "Oh, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Okay. And you might think that if you can't deliver yourself, there's no one that can deliver you, but Paul's got a better answer for you than that. Listen to what his answer is. Verse number 25 of Romans chapter 7, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Who can deliver us from the body of death? Thankfully, Jesus Christ our Lord can. So can we just thank him right now? We're going to talk a little bit more about the process and what that means here, but let's just take a moment and thank God that he is able to bring not only our spirit into a redemptive relationship with him, but our mind and our physical well-being as well. Father, we thank you right now for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for a redeemed spirit. Lord, thank you for a renewed mind. Thank you for a mind that functions like that of Christ Jesus, Lord. And thank you, O God, for leading us in the paths of righteousness. Thank you for empowering us to live godly and holy lives. In Jesus' name, amen. He says in chapter 8, verse number 1, let me finish verse number 25. "So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And so he says, now, because Jesus Christ is working, now his spirit is desiring to do the things of God, but now his mind is desiring to serve the law of God. And so now it's not one third for God and two thirds against God. Now it's two thirds for God and one third that's still struggling. It's the flesh. And I want you to know today that God fully intends to empower you to live godly life. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So now it is not the flesh that is dictating the terms to the mind. It is the Spirit that is dictating the terms to the mind. And the Spirit says, we're going to walk not according to the flesh, but we are going to walk according to the Holy Spirit. We are not going to walk in condemnation. We're going to walk in victory. Praise God. Thank God for freedom. Thank God for freedom. And it says here that it is the way that we walk. So many times society wants to focus on anecdotal evidence. an event here or an event there. They're looking for the loophole, the exclusion. God is looking for the walk. He is looking. How do you walk Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Are you walking according to the flesh, or are you walking according to the Spirit? Are you walking according to the things of God, or are you walking your own path? How do you walk? If you want to be free from condemnation, you have to walk according to the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people who want to quote, "There is therefore now no condemnation." But that verse doesn't end at the end of the word condemnation. It says, "To those who are in Christ Jesus," that's the first condition, "who do not walk according to the flesh," that's the second condition. And the third condition is, "but according to the Spirit." They walk led by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God's not going to be condemning us. He's not going to be beating us up. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit will never convict us. He will, but he will always bring us to Jesus, to where we can find forgiveness and empowerment. God's not just wanting you forgiven. He's wanting you to be empowered. He wants you to think differently than you've ever thought before. He wants you to think in lines with the will of God and the Word of God. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Prior to Christ, there was a law that you had to obey, and that was you sinned. You sinned before you made Jesus your Lord and Savior. You sinned daily and constantly. It was your lifestyle. It was your nature. It wasn't just the things that you did. But now God has set you free from that by a different law, and that is for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When Jesus comes into your heart, there is a change of law. There is a legal jurisdiction change. Now you are no longer governed by the law of sin and death. You are governed by the law of the Spirit of life. Capital S, the Holy Spirit. There is life. You are governed by the law of spiritual life. It is a spirit that resides in you. It is the Spirit of God. Jesus came that you might have life abundantly. You might have it to the full. I want to ask you today, are you, with the freedom that God has provided for you, are you living the Spirit of life? Is it all? God's not called us just to exist. He has called us to live and to thrive. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin." Now listen, he condemned sin in the flesh. He took it to the cross with him. You don't have to do it. You know, back when I was a kid, Flip Wilson was on, and he would say, "The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it." Everybody was responsible but us. We're looking to blame our mom, our dad, our dog, our cat. You know, the cat probably truly is guilty, but no, I'm just kidding, sort of. He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned it. He doesn't recognize its authority over our lives anymore. He has broken that. He's condemned it, and he has set up a different purpose. He condemned sin in the flesh, okay? So if he sets us free from the stronghold, he sets us free from captivity, there has to be a reason, there has to be a purpose. God doesn't do anything for window dressing sake. He does it for a reason, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He set us free. He changes our mind. We operate under a different legal jurisdiction than before, so that we might manifest the righteous requirements of the law. And how do we do that? By walking according to the Holy Spirit. How is your walk today? Is it led by your flesh, or is it led by the Spirit of God? You know, it's been a kind of a shorter work week, with July 4th being this week. How is your walk? You're now getting close to the end of the week here. Are you still walking filled with the Spirit of life? Listen, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Okay? You can tell which law is governing your life by examining the things that you think about. Okay? If you think on the things of the flesh, you're going to live according to those things. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on the things of the Spirit. So here we are, the end of the week. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the reality that the Spirit of life rules and reigns in you, that you have been delivered from that civil war, and that there's unity, there's power. He's empowered you to live the way that you want, or that he wants you to live. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isn't it interesting that it says once we change the way that our mind functions and who dictates the terms that we think about, that peace is a byproduct of that? Right now, we're living in a time where there is a pandemic, if you will, an epidemic of anxiety, of fear, of worry, of uncertainty, of hopelessness. And God says that there's a way that all of that can change, and that is breaking the power of the flesh over the mind and instituting a new authority where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, controls the things that we think about. We think about ways of pleasing God. You know, in Proverbs, it talks about people who lay up awake at night thinking of ways that they can steal and kill and illegally achieve a lot of monetary goods for themselves. What if we used all of those mental faculties for ways to communicate the gospel? You know what? We're looking to take this gospel in a manner that will reach more and more people. Why don't you join us in thinking and praying about what you could do to make that a reality? Okay? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. So then, listen to this. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The only way we can please God is if we are living according to the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit influencing our mind and having the ultimate authority in our life. Galatians chapter 5, as we're going to conclude this. You see, it's one thing for God to set us free. It's another thing for God to renew our mind and change the law that we are living under. It's an entirely different thing to stay that way. And so in Galatians chapter 5, Paul again writes, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." I watched a video the other day. I don't even really remember what the source of this video was, but it showed a video of a kayaker, and he must have been out on the ocean or a bay someplace, and an adolescent sea turtle was really struggling in the water, and it swam right up to this kayaker as if to ask for help. And the kayaker reaches down and picks up this sea turtle. It looked like it was about a foot in diameter, and picks it up. And when he does, he realizes that the sea turtle was in such distress because it was entangled in a bunch of fishing line. And it had wrapped itself around one of its fins, flappers, whatever it's called, one of the things that it uses to swim. And it was greatly impaired in its mobility because of what it had become entangled in. And if you can't swim to the depths where your food is, you starve. If you can't swim to where you get oxygen, you drown. And this was a death waiting to happen. And the kayaker was evidently out there prepared, because when he came up, when he brought that turtle up, he had the tools that were necessary to set that turtle free from the entanglement that was killing it. Cut off the fishing line, and the good thing was he didn't throw the fishing line back into the water where someone else could get entangled in it, but he put it in its boat to carry it away so that that fishing line would never be a problem for that turtle ever again. And you know what? The turtle swam away a lot faster than it had reached the kayaker in the first place. Today, God wants us to have liberty, but he also wants us to stand. He does not want us going back and embracing the same destructive habits and lifestyle that got us in that mess in the first place. If God set you free from alcohol, don't go back to it. The Bible describes that as like a dog returning to its vomit. If you have been redeemed from pornography, don't play with it. Don't toy with it. Stay away from it. You don't want it in your life. It's not there to bring victory. It's there for the enemy to use to bring you defeat. Get rid of it. If you've been delivered from drugs, don't go back to it. Don't play with it. Live in victory. Live in accountability. Surround yourself with people of faith. God wants you not only set free initially, but he wants you to continue to live in victory. And I'm going to close today and tell you a story. When I was first a youth pastor, I realized that the captivity and the hopelessness of sin. I did an illustration for our youth group. I had a great big pickle jar, and I put a bug in it, and the lid was on it. There were no holes. There was no source of oxygen. And I said, "Is this bug alive or is it dead?" And they said, "It's alive because it's inside that jar, and we can see it moving around." And I said, "Well, in all actuality, this bug is dead. It just doesn't know it yet." Today, if you're living life in that bug where there is no hope, there's no future, there's no freedom, today I want to make you aware that there is a better way of life. You know what I did? I took a hammer. I smashed that jar. I set that bug free and enabled it to live someplace else. Today, Jesus wants you to be alive in freedom. God bless you. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. Don't wanna lose the eternal for the things that are passing.
'cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on and on?